Spirit Blade Underground, July 31st, 2010.
Warning, access restricted. Enter password. DNA verification. Processing. Verification complete. Access granted. Welcome.
Spirit Blade Underground, July 31st, 2010.
Hello and welcome to the Monitor Room at the Spirit Blade Underground podcast. I'm Peter France and the creator of Spirit Blade Productions. We're bringing you Christian sci-fi and fantasy that's unsterilized, unsafe, and unleashed on your ears and imagination. You can check out what we're doing and grab lots of cool downloads over at www.spiritblade.net. All right, let's see. Well, we've got some summer free stuff going on. I'm going to wrap up my Comic-Con coverage, talking about the comic book portions that jumped out to me. And then I've also got a movie review for you. So that sounds like a lot because it is a lot, so we better get started. But first, I almost forgot. So we got to give you updates.
File access. Update.
Progress has been going great on the special edition of Spirit Blade. I only have 10 scenes left to mix before I go back and add the new scoring to each scene. A couple days ago, I found myself with an unusually large amount of time for mixing and completed 3 or 4 scenes in one day. It felt really, really good. Given what happens to Ran at the end of Act 2, he suddenly takes a lot more work to mix into scenes now in Act 3. The original mix already had some cybernetic sound effects, but in order to match what we've got going on in Dark Ritual, I'm adding a few more layers and completely replacing his footsteps as well. I have this crazy fantasy of getting the core mix done before I go on my out-of-town trip this next coming weekend, but I kind of doubt that's going to happen, but we'll see. As you may have noticed, the podcast a little bit late this weekend because my sister and her husband watched our son while my wife and I enjoyed a 24-hour date. It was great. And before I forget, there's going to be no podcast next weekend. I'm going to be out of town taking some vacation time to go visit a buddy that I've probably mentioned on the podcast before. His name is Mark, and we get together every few months to have these massive board game weekends. So we're going to be playing Descent next weekend. It's like a 3-day weekend, and we're just going to go nuts, and it's going to be awesome, and we're going to eat terrible food, and we're going to go dungeon crawling for hours and hours and hours and hours on end. And that's my idea these days of going to a convention. It's some really intense, awesome gaming time. So anyway, no podcast next week, but we will be back on track the following week. That's it. So we better get the show started.
Primary feature.
Comic-Con comics. Movie review.
Activated.
Well, first off, I got two more bits of stuff for to throw out at you guys for
the summer of
Matt M. submitted that bumper for the summer of free, and as well as a couple others. But that's the one that, like, it's my favorite. It got like the what the crap award. Listen to that, and I was like, this is just too crazy weird, so I love it. Thank you, Matt, for submitting that. First up, I got an email from, John Wilkerson, the Jesus Geek, the Jesus Geek podcast, and he said, Peter, here's a cool-looking game that is currently available for free on Steam. You go check it out at www.aliensworm.com. Aliensworm.com. And it's like this four-player co-op, well, up to four-player co-op game, like an above view shooter. And the graphics look really great, and it looks like a lot of fun, completely free. My PC can't run it, which is kind of a bummer, but I looked at kind of the demo video and stuff, and if you're looking for some four-player action with your buddies that's got great-looking graphics, I think, and just looks like some intense gameplay, go check out www.aliensworm.com. Thank you very much, John, for sending that my way. And then I also got a call with some free stuff info from Gary.
The summer free is awesome. There are a few good games out there that I like that are free. Airsoft Warzone is one of them. It's an RPG where you have, you know, your character is, you know, he's sort of like a new recruit in this, sort of like an army of corporate mercenaries, and you're basically, you have to do quests, and, you know, you can duel with other player characters and so on, and you can do jobs, and so on. It seems pretty good. I think it's in beta, so it's still kind of in the works, but I think it has some possibilities. So if the folks out there in Spirit Blade Land would like to check it out, you just go to a-wz.com. Well, that's about it. I suppose I'll stop yammering away here and let you get on with the podcast. Take it away, Peter.
Thank you very much, Gary, and thanks for the recommendation. And for anybody else that wants to submit something for the Summer of Free, I'm not going to be covering any kind of like Summer of Free stuff after the end of August. So August is the last month that I'm going to be doing anything on the Summer of Free, even though summer here in Arizona really stretches on through like mid-October. but that's when I'm going to stop looking at any kind of Summer of Free stuff. So if you want to send some stuff my way, if you got some free entertainment ideas out there, you can still send them my way, paeter@spiritblade.net, or shoot me like a phone message. I can play on the podcast at 206-350-1226. Okay, so this week I took a look at kind of the comic book coverage side of Comic-Con, and I'm going to present kind of my highlights now for you. Both DC and Marvel made it much easier to hear about their movie announcements than their comic book announcements, but I was still able to look around and read about some of the big things happening or coming soon from the big two. Here's what jumped out to me this year. And for those like wondering what's going on with like Dark Horse and some of the smaller companies, their stuff was really hard to find. You would think that if you go to these guys' websites, they would just have like a bing, bing, bing kind of announcement thing. But I was having a hard time at Dark Horse's website navigating and finding like big announcements. It was, I don't know, it seems like a no-brainer, but these guys did not make it easy to get info on what's going on with their companies. Anyway, at DC, in Green Lantern Emerald Warriors, written by Peter Tomasi, Guy Gardner begins a secret mission for the Red Lantern Atrocitus, which will pit him against Hal Jordan and likely have them butting heads again for good. And this series starts, I believe, in August. I think this is a good move for the character and for the characters, both Guy Gardner and Hal Jordan, provided that Gardner is still sympathetic in some way. But I think that those characters have worked really well when they've butted heads in the past. However, I was not a fan of the Justice League International Guy Gardner, who was just really freaking obnoxious and just very unsympathetic. You know, I like him as kind of like a tough talking, bad attitude kind of Green Lantern, but not as this really immature, obnoxious person. I think that they've done a pretty good job of having him be kind of a mean mamma jamma or whatever, you know, but hopefully he won't be obnoxious. Anyway, we'll see. Superman has been taken over by J. Michael Straczynski, if I'm pronouncing that right, in a story arc called Grounded, of which I've read the first issue. Superman is taking the time here to walk across America and be reminded of the lives and struggles of the common man that he has dedicated himself to protecting. I think this is the perfect story to tell right now. It kind of reminds me a little bit of, what was that story? Superman for All Seasons, I thought. It was this really kind of down-to-earth kind of story that tells us about who the character is, the essence of his personality, and what makes him heroic, and what makes all the other heroes kind of aspire to be him. Superman can only punch so many things, and we've had a lot of big action in his titles lately, and I love that stuff. I mean, Superman, he is the big gun of the DCU. But for a character like this to remain fresh, we have to be reminded of who he is as a person. And this story, I think, has great potential to do that. Whether it executes, I don't know. But so far, with the first issue, I got to say, this story really has potential. Straczynski is also taking on writing chores for Wonder Woman, with what I predict will be terrible results. The story involves monkeying with reality and changing Wonder Woman's origin and costume, so she's basically a different superhero. That's exaggeration. But anyway, this sounds like the same kind of gimmick event storytelling made famous in the 90s. You know, Superman died, then they had to break Batman's back, then they had to make Green Lantern go insane. And don't get me wrong, there were some good stories that came out of those, but then it just seemed like there was lots of gimmick storytelling, event gimmick storytelling going on. You know, it got old quick, and then, and it's no more welcome now, in my opinion. Much like with what's going on with Batman, and the less said, the better about that smear of nonsense. I'll be waiting for the smoke to clear and things to return to normal with Wonder Woman, and then hope to see that someone still remembers how to tell a good Wonder Woman story without resorting to cheap tricks. Oh, Gail Simone, we miss you already, or at least I do. I had actually been following Wonder Woman for the last year or two. Gail Simone has really jumped out as a all-star writer. She's like right up there with Geoff Johns, in my opinion, now. She's just turning in some fantastic stuff. If you're not reading The Secret Six, I highly recommend that you check it out. Really great stuff. And so was Wonder Woman, second only to Secret Six until recently when, of course, she left the book. Anyway, Marvel Comics. I'm not normally a Marvel guy, but I do like to kind of keep a toe in there or just kind of keep an ear out for what's going on. Ultimate Comics Thor. This October, Marvel will begin a four-issue limited series by Jonathan Hickman and Carlos Pacheco that explores the origins of the Ultimate Marvel Universe Thor. I've always found this version of the character interesting because of the way we aren't sure if he's insane or not. It seems that it has now been established that he is the real deal, not an insane man with enhancement gadgets. So an origin story is not as appealing to me as it might have been a couple of years ago. But if the Ultimate Universe takes a turn for the better real soon, I was not a fan of the Ultimatum storyline, I may pick it up in trade paperback. In August, in the mainstream Marvel Universe, Namor, the First Mutant by Stuart Moore and Ariel Olivetti will debut as a new ongoing series that will explore more of the Atlantean culture and the new kinds of vampires that have recently been introduced to the Marvel Universe. Partially influenced by H.P. Lovecraft, the story will deal with Namor uncovering lost secrets of the ocean that may prove too much for humanity to deal with. I don't know. I don't know what to think of that whole story there. All these different kinds of vampires and... I don't know. It seems like a weird blend, but you know what? I'm sure that someone that's not following the DC Universe and, like, suddenly jumped in to, like, see all this rainbow of lantern cords would be like, what the crap is going on? So I guess if DC can have, like, you know, purple lanterns and orange lanterns and, you know, blue lanterns, then they can have... purple, orange, and blue vampires or whatever they got going on over in the Marvel Universe. So good luck with that. Tron, The Betrayal by a variety of writers and artists will arrive in October, published by Marvel, as a two-issue limited series that serves as a prequel to the upcoming movie or more of a bridge. The story picks up soon after the first movie ends, and so it's like a bridge between the two movies. The cover looks great, but the idea of multiple creators contributing gives me a lot of reason to pause, as those kinds of books tend to lack consistent quality, or at least a consistent voice and style. So I might have to flip through the first issue to see if it's going to be worth actually putting down the cash for. All right, so that's about it for the Comic-Con 2010 coverage I have for you. But I do have a review for the DVD animated DC movie Batman Under the Red Hood. Now, for those unfamiliar with the comic book story this animated movie is based on, this is about the death of Batman's second Robin, Jason Todd, and the mysterious character and events that serve as a follow-up to this event years later. I'll try not to give out any spoilers, despite the fact that most of the audience for this DVD movie has already read the original story. The adaptation is very well done, I thought, handled by Judd Winnick, who wrote the original story and campaigned to make this movie happen. So it was in the original creator's hands. All the key elements remain, and the complex DC Universe continuity elements that were part of the story have been streamlined and made self-contained for the movie in a way that seems really obvious and works very well. The animation looks great and blends cell and CGI styles effectively. Action is dynamic and explosive, and let me tell you, a fight scene between Batman and the Red Hood near the end is one of the most well-choreographed sequences I've seen even in live-action movies. It was a lot of fun to watch. I spent a lot of time grinning while I watched the action sequences in this movie. Really good stuff. Batman's dialogue isn't always the best, but Nightwing is written pretty well. The best material seems to be given to the Joker, played by John DiMaggio, who plays Bender in, what is that, Simpsons in Space series. I can't remember what it's called now, but it's made by the guy who created Simpsons. It's on, I can't remember, Futurama, yeah, okay. Simpsons in Space. All right, anyway, so the guy that does the voice of Bender does the voice of the Joker in this, and he delivers wonderfully in the role. I did miss not having the higher pitch and brighter timbre I prefer in the voice of the Joker, however, but, you know, not everybody can be Mark Hamill. This interpretation seems slightly influenced by Heath Ledger's version, kind of a darker, uglier kind of thing going on, which I do not consider an overall step in the right direction, but really good stuff given to the Joker, and there's one, I mean, some of the dialogue had me laughing out loud. So, and if you have like a dark sense of humor, there's some dialogue in the Joker's last scene that just made me bust out laughing. It was great. The rest of the voice acting is very strong. Bruce Greenwood is a natural voice for Batman, and Neil Patrick Harris continues to surprise me with how different he can make his voice sound with just a few subtle changes. I've been very impressed. He's done, I think this is his third DC animated movie now. Really good stuff. Once again, this movie is pretty short, like other DC animated movies, a little under 80 minutes, but the pacing of the story still makes you feel as though you've seen a complete film. The obvious philosophical theme of this movie is, do the ends justify the means? Generally, we all recognize that we are not the ultimate judge of other human beings, and so our default response is, and likely should be, no. However, something else inside of us recognizes the injustices in the world and silently screams out for someone to step in and dish out justice. This film has potential to springboard into conversation about justice and the role of God in ultimately bringing it about. But the way the subject is explored, you know, vigilantes and psychotic killers with costumes and stuff, it's a bit far removed from the average person's experience, making worthwhile conversation something you will have to steer purposefully toward rather than naturally arrive at. The additional features make the DVD and especially the Blu-ray, which has an extra documentary about Jason Todd and the whole stuff about, you know, how he's killed and how it came about in the comics, makes it totally worth buying. I would say even if you don't like the movie, which I would guess you'll probably really like the movie. But anyway, fantastic special features. As they go into the history of Jason Todd's death in the comics, there's some new stuff there that if you've watched other documentaries, hasn't been covered yet. And the origins of Robin as a character are talked about, like as far as like how they made the decision to why they brought Robin in and how the idea was conceptualized. So interesting stuff. New stuff for me, even, who I'm a comic book geek, and I'm not big into comic book history, but I definitely watch and read documentaries and stuff like that whenever they are presented to me. So there were still some great new information for me that I really enjoyed. The 10-minute Jonah Hex short is fine for a single viewing, and certainly much better than the recent live-action movie, but it isn't very memorable. They weren't pushing the envelope with the action or the animation. It seems to be chosen only to coincide with the live-action movie, which is a shame since the live-action movie was, you know, really not so great. I would have preferred an Aquaman or Martian Manhunter short, or another Spectre short, but that's probably hoping for too much. Anyway, this movie's rated PG-13 for violent content and some drug references. I give it a quality of 9.0 out of 10 and a relevance of 7.0 out of 10.
Enjoy your sci-fi and fantasy how and where you want. Beginning July 4th, 2010, science fiction and fantasy fans will be given a new place where they can discover authors and stories they'll be able to enjoy wherever they go. Flagship, the new e-zine by publisher Flying Island Press, will soon be releasing short stories every other month in formats for the Kindle, the iPad, and the iPhone, and other electronic readers. Flying Island Press also recognizes the increasing popularity of podcasts and other forms of audio fiction. So in addition to the e-zine, an audio version will be available to listen to on any MP3 player. Stories they release will be available both in text and in audio, allowing the consumer to choose their preferred version. Zach Ricks, managing editor for Flagship, had this to say.
I wanted to harken back to what some have called the golden age of science fiction. It's my hope that Flagship will be a place for optimistic, entertaining science fiction and fantasy.
Each issue will cost $1.99 for the text version or the audio version, or get both for just $2.99. Issues will be available starting July 4th, 2010 at flyingislandpress.com/flagship.
Doctor, we'll set you free. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word about God stands forever.
Doctor, we'll set you free.
Today we're searching for truth in the book of Romans, chapter 1. We're looking at verses 2 through 7. I'm actually going to go ahead and just read 1 through 7, since we just covered verse 1 last week. I'm going to read it from the NIV. It says, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his Son, who as to his human nature was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him and for his name's sake we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in verse 1, Paul explained that he had been set apart by God for the gospel, God's rescue plan for humanity. We talked about that last week. Paul then explains that this plan was promised many years before by God's prophets in the Holy Scriptures, referring to the Jewish Scriptures, a.k.a. the Old Testament. The Greek word for prophets here does not limit this to the prophetic books of the Old Testament. Jesus was very inclusive when he referred to the Old Testament scriptures that spoke about him. And you can see an example of that in Luke chapter 24, verses 27 and 44. Paul says that the scriptures concerned God's Son. The Greek word huios, used here for son, does not simply mean offspring. It refers to someone who has the same characteristics as their father. So a huios of God was a highly significant idea. Despite his divine nature, the scriptures indicated he would be a physical, according to the flesh, descendant of King David. According to the flesh, you'll see that in translations like the NASB. So the scriptures indicated he'd be a physical descendant of King David. Look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 through 6. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Paul says that the Son was declared the Son of God because of his resurrection from the dead, which was accomplished by the Spirit of Holiness, a name commonly used by Jews to refer to the Holy Spirit. Paul identifies this Son as Jesus Christ, our Lord. The resurrection of Jesus is vital to the teaching of Jesus. Often people want to separate the two and just kind of talk about, Jesus' teachings and kind of what he said. But the resurrection is vital to the teaching of Jesus because it proved that Jesus really was the huios of God and was capable of saving us. The resurrection validated the divine identity claims of Jesus. Without the resurrection, Jesus would just be a remarkable man at best, and a liar or insane man at worst, and we would all still be doomed for our arrogant rejection of God. And Paul even talks about that in, that basically this is all, we're all wasting our time if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 17. Paul also acknowledges the place of Jesus in his life. If Jesus is the huios of God, then he is able to save us from the punishment our sin deserves. But it logically follows that if Jesus is the huios of God, he is also deserving of our submission and service. He is our Lord. Or as we might say today, Jesus is our boss. He's in charge. I'm taking that from verse 4. It was common in letter writing of this time to use plural pronouns when referring to oneself. So Paul says we, and he's just referring to himself. Paul does this many times in his letters, and Romans is no exception. Paul explains that it was through Jesus that he received undeserved favor from God, grace, and the role of an apostle, which both of which empowered him to bring about faith-driven obedience among all the Gentiles, which means non-Jews, though in this instance, it may be better translated as nations. But anyway, for the sake of Jesus' name. In the original Greek, to do something in Jesus' name means to do something in conformity with his will. When we do something for the sake of Jesus' name, we do it in service to his will. When we tag in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers, our desire should be in line with his will, not the other way around. Look at verse 5 for that. Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and he identifies them as also having been called by Jesus Christ. His letter was addressed to those who were loved by God and called as saints, those set apart from natural living for God's purposes is what saints refers to. Combining common Greek and Jewish greetings, Paul prayed in his greeting that God would give the Roman Christians undeserved favor, grace, that was part of the Greek greeting, and a sense of calm that comes from being on good terms with God the Father and the boss, Jesus Christ. That's peace. What peace refers to there. Next week, we're going to look at the impact of visible faith and Christian relationships. And the coffeehouse question this week, how do you think we as Christians can better go about praying in Jesus' name? I also want to throw out to you guys a reminder to go visit the forums. There's been some cool conversation going on there. Someone started a topic that actually basically opens up for discussion, the coffeehouse questions. So I want to encourage you to go over to spiritblade.net/forums and join the conversation there. You can also email me your thoughts at paeter@spiritblade.net or give me a call and give me a message. I can play on the podcast 206-350-1226.
Hello, this is Gary again. I thought your response to my earlier question was interesting. I can see, you know, the validity as far as, you know, Christ arriving to do away with the feast days and the yearly Sabbath. But I don't know. I was speaking so much, you know, I was speaking in terms of the weekly day of worship that, you know, most choose to, you know, to spend on Sunday. I guess I don't have as much of a problem with it as maybe you might think. I'm just more curious than anything else. As to whether or not, you know, that argument in general holds any water, in your opinion. That's about it. I think, at least I have a good point of reference, and I'll be looking forward to future episodes where you'll be maybe expounding on that a little bit more, in the book of Romans. So, guess that's about it. That's about it. So, take care, and always remember to seek the truth.
Thanks, Gary. I think that going through the book of Romans is going to be really interesting. I've enjoyed it so far, and even though it's kind of intimidating to me, but there's so much great stuff there, and I'll probably end up doing the Book of Romans again a few years down the line, just coming back to it and, hitting the stuff that I feel like I missed this time around. But it's, you know, the church in Rome hadn't had any teaching from an apostle, as we mentioned last week on the podcast. So this was Paul's kind of shot at presenting the basic truths of the Christian faith, the fundamentals of the gospel, of who Jesus is, what he did, and what that means for us. And so there's the law comes into it, especially when we get around chapter 7. It's going to take a while to get to chapter 7. I don't know how long, but we're going to be inching along for a little while. But feel free to read ahead chapter 7 and dig through. If you got a study Bible, just look at the different, read through chapter 7, look at the different scripture references it gives you that kind of connects that theme to other things that Jesus said. And maybe you'll start formulating some ideas in advance as we kind of approach that stuff. But the book of Romans is just a lot of cool stuff in there, and hopefully it'll just kind of instruct us all a little bit better on how to live our lives in line with the vision God has for us, not, you know, going off into crazy ideas and also not getting bogged down with extra rules that we kind of load ourselves with. So anyway, I think it'll be cool stuff. Let's see. I almost forgot. Gary asked me in a previous message that I played a couple weeks ago, but I had to cut down for time. He asked me about the song bundles and whether or not they would get any kind of airtime in online Christian radio stations that focus on like electronic music and stuff like that. And it's so funny, Gary, because it was like the day before that you sent me that message, I had just submitted the song bundles to a couple of different places. Actually, no, just to one place at that time and another one since then. But very soon, starting in the month of August, you'll be able to start hearing the songs from the from Spirit Blade and Spirit Blade Dark Ritual over at ChristianIndustrial.net. You'll be able to hear the song bundles songs kind of rotated in their playlist there. And then also on a UK online Christian and electronic radio station, Crook Radio. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. C-R-E-U-K Radio. If you just do it, just Google that. C-R-E-U-K Radio. They'll be playing some stuff too. And actually, one of the songs is going to be featured on a compilation, a free compilation that they're going to be releasing sometime soon. So when I get word of that, I will let you know so you guys can go over there and get for free whatever Spirit Blade bundle song is on there, as well as some other cool electronic Christian music. So cool stuff going on. I'm making good progress. Like I said, I don't want to put any kind of release dates out there for the special edition, but I'm feeling pretty jazzed about the progress I'm making. Things will slow down a little bit at the end of August because I'm going to be gone for a week, taking some vacation time. And there will also be, like I said, no podcast next weekend. No podcast next weekend. I'm going to be hanging out with my buddy Mark in California. And we're going to, like, Thursday night through Saturday, about till 10 p.m. We're going to do straight gaming, and we'll sleep when we absolutely have to. But it's going to be awesome. I cannot wait. So anyway, that's it. I'll see you guys in 2 weeks. And as Gary reminded me, let's all do our best in the meantime to seek the truth.
Visit www.spiritblade.net. Peter is a crazy freak. Green Lantern is awesome. Visit www.spiritblade.net.